Well, good morning. Good morning. Yes, we're back in the book of Hebrews. And let's see. Yep, the supremacy of Christ. We want to make Jesus the main attraction. And that's really what the book of Hebrews is all about. And you know what? I might even be back on track. Well, last week we had a bit of a rabbit trail, a bit of a detour. But I think I've found my way back to chapter 3. So, in fact, we're going to start there. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 3, we'll have the words up on the screen too. We've seen that Jesus is superior to angels. And those words, superior to, greater, or better than, they show up a lot here in this letter. And the author is actually going to maybe ruffle a few feathers with this one now. Because we told you that these are Jewish people who are tempted to go back to Judaism. They found freedom in Christ, but they're being persecuted for it. And they want to maybe go back. And the author of Hebrews is saying no. Now let's read Hebrews chapter 3. Now we ended, by the way, last week with verse 1 of Hebrews 3, but we'll read it again. Oh, and as we finished last week, now this comes from out of chapter 2 before we get into this, but it says there that Jesus became one of us. He suffered when he was tempted, and he's able to help us. So, Jesus is not only our Lord, but he really is our brother. He really is. He knows everything about us. And so therefore, holy brothers and sisters, right? He makes us holy, who share in the heavenly calling. Okay, not the earthly blessings, but the heavenly ones. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Jesus has been found worthy of even greater honor than Moses. Moses, who received the law, the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone written by the very finger of God himself. Moses, who is referred to in the Bible, by the way, as Moses, the man of God. So we want to be careful, because Moses was and is one of Israel's greatest national heroes. He's revered, not only by the children of Israel, by the way, but his name is held in the highest honor among Christians. Even among Muslims, all over the world, Moses is loved and respected, and rightly so. In Exodus 33 and verse 11, we read that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, by the way, that last line, speaks to a friend, that's important. You see, when the Bible says that God spoke with Moses face to face, that's an expression of intimacy, like you would speak to your closest friend. And that's what God said in Exodus 33:11. The question gets asked, did Moses actually see God's face? Well, some of you know that when Moses asked to see the Lord's glory, he was told nobody sees God's face and lives. Some of you know that hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Well, the story where that hymn came from is also in Exodus 33. Now, it was verse 18 where Moses said, show me your glory. We're going to pick this up at Exodus 33, starting at verse 19. So, I mean, you don't have to turn back there, but feel free if you wish. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand. Okay, that's from that hymn. Until I pass by, then I will remove my hand from you. You will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So though even Moses didn't see the Lord's actual face, so close was the relationship between God and this incredible man named Moses. Are you familiar with this story? It's Numbers chapter 12. Now, you can either turn there, write it down for a reference. We'll have it up on the slides again. But Miriam and Aaron, right, the sister and brother of Moses, they began to talk against Moses because Moses had married a Cushite. A Cushite he had for a wife. He had married a foreigner. Actually, this would have been an interracial marriage, because as a Cushite, she would have even been a different color than Moses. That did not go over well with the family. But God seemed to be quite okay with it. We'll pick it up, verse 2 of Numbers 12. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Now, this is Miriam and Aaron asking this. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. By the way, that's really worth noting, too. His humility was maybe the biggest part of what made him great in the eyes of the Lord. And at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out of the tent of meeting, all three of you. Now, if there was a carpet in front of that tent, they were being called out on it. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. And when the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house, just as the writer to the Hebrews said. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Remember, as we already saw. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And then if you read on, you'll see God disciplined them. And actually Miriam in particular, Chuck Swindoll tells this story, and you'll know he gave her a skin disease, and then it's mentioned there is leprosy, but basically her skin turned white. It was as if God was saying, oh, so you don't like people with some color in their face, do you? Yeah. Now, maybe she did more to stir up the anger in her brother Aaron. I don't know. But the lesson for us is to be careful how you speak about your fellow servants in the Lord. Now, let me quickly say it here. Because some self-proclaimed prophets, some church leaders, even some pastors, right? They'll use verses and passages like this one to say they can never be criticized. Hey, God called me. Who are you to question me? Never let me get away with that, by the way. In Christ, we are all members of a royal priesthood, it tells us. We all have access to the same Spirit. Now, while we must respect our leaders, by the way, this comes right out of the book of Hebrews. Hey, listen, let's have a look at it here. Chapter 13 and verse 17. I figure by the time we get to verse 13, it might even be 2025. But anyway, he said, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Now, some Bible translations will say that they keep watch over your souls. None of us is sufficient for this. So he said, do this so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So, yes, as a pastor, I'm going to do my best to present the truth to you here on Sunday mornings. I'm going to do my best to care for you. But I hope you will care for me too. And if I ever say something you think is an error, by all means, point it out kindly, as I will try to do for you. But I mean, no human being, no matter who they are, whatever title has been bestowed on them somewhere, no person is infallible. So not only have confidence, but pray for anybody in any kind of a leadership role. Pray for Mark. Pray for Diane and Kevin. Pray for Evan. Anyone that has a leadership role. Now, back to our passage here in Hebrews. When we're saying that Jesus is greater than Moses, we're not, you know, dissing Moses. The author of the Hebrews is still being careful to give Moses the honor that is due him. Okay, I mean, think about this. Nobody even knows where Moses was buried after he died. Because even though he disobeyed a commandment of the Lord, God did not allow him to enter the promised land. He had to see it from a distance. But it was still God himself who buried the body of Moses. And he never told anybody where. God himself showed a fallen human being, just like we are, he showed him perhaps the greatest honor anyone could have shown. He cared for his body after he died. That's astounding, isn't it? And yet, and we read it here in Hebrews, and it ties in with everything in this letter, Jesus has been found worthy of even greater honor than Moses, the man of God. I was just reading this a week or so ago. When you got to come up with a message every Sunday, anything that comes your way, you go, oh, I can use that. I've got several things for the next few Sundays over the next little while. There was a man by the name of George MacDonald, a Scottish author in the 1800s, and he was considered one of the greatest writers of his day. In fact, apparently it was through reading his works that C.S. Lewis decided to become a Christian. Yeah, the author of the Chronicles of Narnia, and he became convinced Jesus was Lord after reading George MacDonald's writings, and he decided to surrender his life to Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior. So I found this reading from George MacDonald. It was called The Glory on Moses, The Glory in Us. Okay, so think about that. The glory on Moses, the glory in us. MacDonald writes, when Moses came out from speaking with God, his face was radiant. Its shining was a wonder to the people and a power upon them. But the radiance began at once to diminish and die away, as was natural, for it was not indigenous in Moses. In other words, people aren't born to glow in the dark. So therefore, Moses put a veil upon his face so they might not see that glory fade. That's in Exodus 34. When he went again to the tabernacle, as MacDonald tells us, Moses took off his veil, talked with God with open face, and again put the veil back on when he came out. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says that the veil which obscured the face of Moses lies now upon the hearts of the Jewish people, so they cannot understand him. But that when they turn to the Lord, now as the book of Hebrews, and well, like I mentioned last Sunday, in fact, several books of the New Testament all encourage them and us to do. And as we now can, they too, the children of Israel, when they turn to the Lord, when they receive Jesus as their Messiah, they can boldly go into, well, the place where only the high priest was ever allowed. Right? They can go right in there, into the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle. You and I can approach the throne of grace. The veil shall be taken away, and they shall see God. We can enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, the throne of grace, only by the blood of the Lamb of God. We'll look at some verses in 2 Corinthians 3 before we close. But as MacDonald says, and he's quoting Paul, that when they or anyone else turns to Christ, the veil is removed. Says George MacDonald, then they will understand that the glory is indeed faded upon the face of Moses under the old covenant. And that's because the glory of Jesus now outshines it. Some of you will remember a couple of sermons back, the definition of Jesus being the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, as the book of Hebrews says. Well, Jesus is the outshining of God the Father's radiance, the one that outshines them all. Says MacDonald, the sight of the Lord will take that veil from off of their hearts. It'll take the veil off our hearts too. His light will burn it away. His presence gives liberty. And where he is, there is no more heaviness, no more bondage, no more wilderness, no Mount Sinai. The Son makes free by making us sons and daughters of God by faith. He says Paul's idea is that when we take into our understanding, when we take into our heart, our conscience, our being, when we begin to contemplate the glory of God, namely Jesus Christ, as he shows himself to our eyes, our hearts, our consciences, he then works upon us. And he will keep working. Aren't you glad for that, by the way? He's been working on me for like 46 years. I was two. No, he's been working on me, and I'm so glad, because there are times when I've just run away from him, right, and given him every reason to just go, ah, I knew it. No, he keeps taking me back. Isn't that astounding? He'll keep taking you back. And we are someday going to be changed into the very likeness that we now have mirrored in us. For with his likeness, he comes himself and dwells in us. Okay, this isn't just something we apply to the outside of us. This isn't just, you know, some church regulations we follow. It's something that happens right inside of us by the power of Christ. Not our trying to abide by all the rules and the laws. No, by the power of Christ, we're changed. His glory changes us to glory. Okay, let's see it in the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're actually going to highlight verses 1 to 18 in a moment. Now, as you turn there, 2 Corinthians 3, we'll put them up here too eventually. Oh, look, we've already put them up here again. Already. Okay. Now, this week, okay, I actually wrote the second part of this sermon first. I don't know, I jotted it down while it was still fresh in my mind. I figured, you know, then I'll just take maybe 10, 12 minutes on the first part. You've only heard the first part. So, yeah, I've actually written most of my next sermon, by the way. Well, you're not getting everything. You'd be in here for more than an hour. Who can stand me for that long? So more good stuff to come, by the way, Lord willing, next Sunday. I'll even explain some of that stuff about what the house of the Lord actually is. But let's read it. And these verses are so important to get into our heads. Now, I mentioned in my weekly email how even we become mirrors for some people. Remember, I got that from Oswald Chambers. Like, as we contemplate the Lord's glory, like looking in a mirror, when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, and, oh, okay, realize there's something that needs to be changed in us. But we also become mirrors for other people, right? They can tell, oh, that person's been in the presence of God. It shows, doesn't that? Okay. Wait a minute now. The main part is 2 Corinthians 3, 1-18. I didn't tell the guys this, and I'm not going to spring it on them now. But in the 2 Corinthians, I want to back up actually just to the end of chapter 2, just to get more of the context. Don't worry about the slides. They're smiling now. Oh, wait, are they actually there? Oh, come on, really? That's exactly where I was going to go. Did you put that in, Diane? Thank you. That is amazing. Yeah. Okay. Unlike so many, Paul says that we don't peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Let me see. I just want to make sure that I got everything that I was going to do. Yes. Now, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Right? Do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation from you or for you? I know some people. They go to a particular church assembly, and they can't go take communion in another church unless they got a letter with them from someone actually saying, yeah, this is a genuine Christian. Paul says, no, we don't need that. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we're competent in ourselves. You've found that out already if you've been here for any length of time. But our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Remember how I've said that so many places in the New Testament teach this very same thing. Don't go back to being under the law. Oh, no, you got to fulfill it all. It's not a good place to be. Now, he goes on. If the ministry that brought death, basically what happens is you look at the commandments of God and you go, oh, no, I'm in big trouble. Right? They're designed to drive us to the Lord. Okay? So if that ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. The writer to the Hebrews will tell us later, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Not arrogantly, but confidently. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. Now, he's not saying that you don't read your Bible. In fact, the majority of is the old covenant. But when you read it to say, we got to follow this, this is our way to eternal life, he says, no, the veil remains. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces, now you'll see the word there is contemplate, and if you have the NIV, you'll see that there's a little footnote, because it could also mean reflect. And so I take that as meaning that the more we contemplate his glory, the more we begin to reflect it. And just as Paul says, we're being transformed into his image, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Cover to cover, okay? This is the Word of God, all right? But let's understand it again. As the author of Hebrews told us, you and I, as we place our faith in Jesus, we now share in a heavenly calling. So let us keep fixing our thoughts on Jesus. Moses was faithful in all God's house. But I saw this quote from Tony Evans, pastor and Bible teacher, and I was doing some studying this week, and I liked the way he said this. He said, yes, Moses was an important part of the household, but Jesus built the house. Amen. Okay, more to come, Lord willing, next week. Expect you all to be here. We'll save you a seat just where you are. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, when we know who we really truly are, I mean, first of all, we recognize why we have to come to you. We fall so far short of the glory of God. But the only people you ever fellowshipped with were those who were fallen, those who were sinners. You invite sinners and you want to come and eat with them. So Lord, thank you that we would recognize, too, as we go through this book of Hebrews, and as Kevin mentioned, so many people, you know, are reading different things in the Bible right now. Lord, keep reminding us of who we are now in Christ. The righteousness of God being revealed in that gospel. That is good news. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, Father, don't let them leave without finding out for themselves, without having that veil taken away from their hearts. Bless us, we pray. And not just with material things, but bless us so we can be a blessing to anyone we come into contact with. Guide us, we ask, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.